This week's parsha is Devarim. We're beginning a Sefer Devarim, Parshas Devarim, and we know that Parshas Devarim always intentionally is always the parsha we read just prior to Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Chazon. The Shabbos gets its name from the Haftorah, from the Chazon Yeshayahu, the opening chapter in Sefer Yeshayahu. But the parsha as well, besides the Haftorah, obviously speaking to the theme of this time period, the parsha as well presumably also speaks to this time period, because again it's always read just prior to Tisha B'Av. In fact, this year when the ninth of Av falls out on Shabbos, well, actually it is Tisha B'Av, right? The fast gets pushed off to the next day, but the ninth of Av is actually this Shabbos. When we're going to be reading Parshas Devarim, famously in many communities, there is a custom, although it's a questionable custom whether it's appropriate or not, but the custom is that is right in between the first and second Aliyah, we have this pasuk that begins with the word Eicha, where Moshe says, Eicha esa levadi tarchachem umasachem rivchem. That how can I send Moshe carry your trouble, your burdens, your quarrels? Like Moshe was overwhelmed by the strife amongst the Jewish people, their quarrels, or their fighting, their disagreements. We spoke about this last year. This is within the context of Moshe ultimately turning to Hashem, and Hashem giving him the elders, the Zekanim, to assist them, to help them. But the word Eicha obviously jumps at us. We see this this word, that's the Megillah that we're going to read, Matzai Shabbos, the Megillah of Tisha B'Av, Megillas Eicha, the words of Yirmiyahu. So Moshe here is, you know, is crying out Eicha, right? How could it be? Alas, he's overwhelmed, just like the Jews are overwhelmed by the pain and the suffering and the destruction and the exile that that was forced upon them as a result of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's like an obvious connection, you know, between Tisha B'Av and this parsha, and the part that's a little controversial is that in many communities when this pasuk is read, it's read with the niggun of Eicha, at the same tune that we use for Eicha on Tisha B'Av night. So many of Bali Kriya will use that same tune. The reason why it's a little controversial, because there is an idea that we don't have any public mourning on Shabbos. Whether someone is in Shiva, at the loss of a loved one, or we as a community are in mourning of the Beis HaMikdash, of the fact that we were in exile, and everything that goes along with that. So we're not supposed to publicly mourn on Shabbos. That's why this Shabbos, we don't even have a Suda Mafsekes. We have a regular Shalosh Shudas. We can have a fancy Shalosh Shudas. We don't sit low on the ground. All those things, because there's no public mourning on Shabbos. So there's a question, you know, whether it's really appropriate to say this Pasuk Eicha in the Niggun of Megillas Eicha, but it's a pretty widespread custom nonetheless. But what I'd like to suggest is there's a bunch of reasons, I think. But I'd like to suggest at least one other reason why it is that we read Parshas Devarim always on the Shabbos just prior to Tisha B'Av. So what I'd like to do is look at it through the Ramban's introduction to Sefer Devarim. We know that many of the Mefarshim, famously the Ramban, the Netziv, and others as well, before, at the beginning of each Sefer of the Torah, they always give a little bit about, a little perspective on what the Sefer is all about. So Ramban, here in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, first of all, he just suggests that we know, and our rabbis refer to Sefer Devarim as Mishnah Torah, which the Ramban understands that it's a review of the Torah. And this is Moshe's last, final speech to the Jewish people. He first of all, I think it's the Ramban here, or maybe it's in the Netziv. One of them points out that the speech didn't take place in a couple hours. It was probably over a prolonged period of time, several weeks, that this was all transmitted to the Jewish people. But the Ramban understands that it's a review, that it's a review of what took place beforehand, with Moshe's giving his commentary on what has occurred. So the Ramban says, Yivar bo Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom Lador HaNichnas Baretz, that Moshe is giving he's giving his final advice to the generation that's about to enter the land of Israel, and he's going to share with them Rov Mitzvos HaTorah Tzrichos LiYisrael. He wants to share with them the mitzvos that's going to be most relevant for them as they enter into the land of Israel. He's not going to mention anything that's found in Sefer VaYikra, all the laws of the korbanos, lo b'maisar korbanos, lo taras haKohanim aseihem. He's not going to talk about the laws of the Kohanim and what make pure and impure. Shikfar Bero Samlan, that he's already explained to them, and he's explained for the Kohanim, and he's not worried about the Kohanim. HaKohanim's reason main, v'lo yitzarach la'asara achar asara. In other words, he feels that the Kohanim are in a good place, that when it comes to the laws of Korbanos and the laws of Tumantara, that's the realm, the responsibility of the Kohanim, and they're going to be careful about it. In other words, like if you have students, and like before the exam, so you have your stronger students and your weaker students. So your stronger students, like the teacher, the last day or two before the exam can focus more. Can be like a study session, a study room. The stronger students can be in the corner. They can work on their own, and the teacher can work with maybe the students that need a little more support. So that's what the Ramban or Sandra Moshe is doing here. The Kohanim are good; they know what to do. And instead, he's talking to the rest of the Jewish people about those things that can be specifically relevant for them. And he says, "Aval b'Yisrael yachzur mitzvos anohagos pam pamacheres losis pam beir." He's going to review those laws that he feels that need to be strengthened, that need to be given some additional commentary, elucidation. Upam shul yaskros and rak lahasias shel barov azaros. And sometimes he's going to mention the laws without even explaining any additional details. Only the Ramban says just to warn them, to tell them, don't forget, you have to do this. Even though he's not necessarily going to be mentioning anything new. Okay. And then in addition to all that, the tochachos v'kol pechodim asher yafchid osom b'chol anshei averos. And in addition, he's going to lay it into them, right? He's going to tell them, you better be careful to observe all these things. And if you don't, lots of bad things will happen. Of course, that's the kisavo, the tochacha, the rebuke. And then scattered throughout the Sefer Devarim is Moshe, keep on telling the people, be careful not to follow astray after the people of the land, not to be enticed by their idolatry and their way of life. And over again, he's going to give those warnings in Sefer Devarim. In addition, says the Ramban, again, we're going to get to in a second, I think, the connection to Tisha B'Av. The Od Yosef B'Sefer Zek says mitzvot shel nizkar klal. And he's going to mention some mitzvos that have not yet been actually written down yet in the Torah. Kigon Yibam. Right, the laws of Yibum, right, in a situation where a man and a woman are married and there's no children and the husband passes away, so then the wife marries the brother-in-law, right, the husband's brother. So that Yibum has not yet been mentioned anywhere in the Torah. Din Motzei Shemra, his laws about a husband, falsely accusing his wife of being unfaithful and the fine that he has to pay. Gerushin, laws of divorce, Edim Zomimim, those are witnesses that are proven to be false because we two other witnesses say it's impossible for you to have given testimony because you weren't there when that happened. You were with us in a different town. So those laws are new, but Zulasim and many others. So the Ramban says that in truth, these laws were already given years earlier. These were all given at the first year of the desert. They just weren't recorded yet until this point. The only thing new that took place in this 40th year is that Moshe is going to make a new covenant with the Jewish people. It's going to take place at the end of Sefer Devarim. But nothing, but Ramban is theorizing, suggesting that no new laws were given. Again, they're just introduced perhaps for the first time in Sefer Devarim, but the Jews had already been taught them earlier. And how does he know that he's correct? Well, how does he know that these laws weren't introduced in Sefer Devarim? In the 40th year, because lo nemar b'sefer hazeh v'yidaber Hashem l'Moshe l'emor tzavetz b'nei Yisrael. You never see the expression, God said to Israel, God said to Moshe, command, instruct the Jewish people. Oh, daber b'nei Yisrael v'marat aliyam mitzvah plonis. Or, you know, God said, you know, teach the Jews this mitzvah. In other words, they already were taught, they're just being introduced to us publicly at this time. And then he says the following. So then the question is, why didn't they appear earlier? He gives a suggestion that others disagree with, but he says that maybe some of these laws didn't apply until the Jews entered into the land of Israel. He discusses that, and there's a lot of discussion, you know, whether that's correct or not. Okay. But that's the Ramban's basic theory. The Ramban, again, not everyone agrees with this Ramban, but the Ramban's theory is that the point of Sefer Devarim is Moshe is reviewing the laws specifically not to the Kohanim, but to the rest of the Jewish people, laws that they already know, they've already been taught, but he feels like he needs to strengthen the people and to remind them of these laws. Sometimes he's just going to say them without any additional details. Sometimes he's going to give additional details to the laws. And also he's going to warn them over and over again. He's going to warn them about keeping the mitzvot, the consequences of not doing the mitzvot, not following after the nations that are currently living in Israel. Again, and what the punishments will be if they don't follow the mitzvot. And then he concludes. He says the following. V'terem sheyatzko b'beir Torah, but before any of that begins. That was before anything, he said, anything comes out of his mouth regarding these mitzvot, observing them, the consequences for not observing them. What does he do first? Hischil lochichem lahaskir laham avanoseam. You know what he does first? He reminds them of all their past mistakes. The first thing he does is he gives a little bit of a history lesson. He reminds them of their previous sins. Kama Yamruba Midbar, how they defied God in the Midbar, right? They didn't listen to Hashem. In other words, a good part of this week's parsha is going to be a focus on how did we get here? You know, this is the 40th year. What took so long? And the main the highlight is Chet HaMeraglim, is the sin of the spies. That's like the major focus of this week's parsha. That's where Moshe spends the most of his time reviewing what happened with the Meraglim, the sin of the spy. So he reminds them of that terrible mistake that occurred. But then he does something very powerful. He's doing that probably, of course, to remind them and to as a warning. But then he does the following, says the Ramban. But at the very same time, right, in spite of all that terrible failure and the consequences that emanated and resulted from that, he also wants to highlight God's midas harachmim, God's attribute of kindness. He wants to show them God's kindness, his attribute of kindness towards them. She's zachu b'dvarav, and he did this, and or I'm sorry, in order she vachu b'dvarav, he did this that they would be strengthened through his words. So yasu l'kikulam pen yasufu b'chol chatasam. He wanted them to recognize their failures in the past, so they wouldn't return to those ways. But also to understand if they do ever mess up again, that God will always demonstrate his midas harachamim, his attribute of mercy. In other words, there will be consequences, but they'll never be destroyed. And then that's something that Moshe mentions in Sefer Devarim. That the ultimate, you know, we say in Parshas, it's Tzavim, it says ultimate Hashem says Vishav, that we will return, right? And there always will be a remnant of us. That God, you know, ultimately will have compassion upon us. So, and he says, Shlo Yomar Adam, a person should never say, L'nuchol Aresha Sasara. It's a person should never say, it's all over. Right? A Jew should never say that God has rejected us. That if anyone ever claims that God has rejected you, and remember the Ramban mentioning about, we're talking before we started about you know, Portugal, and you know, Ramban lived in Spain, right? And the Ramban lived in a day and age where he was constantly dealing with the Christians, and he's famous for his disputation that took place in Barcelona, right? And his and the fact that you know, Pablo, name escapes me right now, that they have the disputation with in front of the king of Aragon, and he wrote up, you know, what happened afterwards, and it's like one of the times that he won the debate. Basically, he basically completely outmaneuvered you know, his opponent. But as a result of him, he published what happened, because originally he wasn't supposed to publish what happened, but because the other side, you know, published his take, and the Ramban felt it was totally inaccurate. So Ramban felt he had to counter it and publish what really took place. And as a result, Ramban basically was told he had to leave Spain. And if he didn't, you know what the consequences would be. So Ramban had the last years of his life. He left Spain. Of course, where did he go? He went to Israel. He made Aliyah. He spent the last years of his life in Israel. Right? He famously tells us that he came to Yerushalayim, and you know, this is in the 1200s. He comes to Yerushalayim, and how many Jews does he find living in the city of Yerushalayim? You know, this is at the period of, you know, just, you know, at the end of the Crusader period, and you know, the Muslims have retaken you know, Israel from the Christians, and he finds two Jewish brothers who live in, there's two Jews, two brothers in business who live in Yerushalayim. There are other Jews living in Israel, but there's just these two Jews living in Yerushalayim. But he says every Shabbos they had a minyan, because Jews would come to Yerushalayim for a minyan, and Yontif people would come, and you know, and then today you go to Israel, you go to the old city, and you go to the Chorva synagogue, what we refer to as the Ramban synagogue. We call it the Chorva synagogue, the ruined synagogue, because the Jordanians had bombed it in 1948. And you know, had you been in Israel 20 years ago, right, all you would have seen post 67 is they sort of rebuilt that one arch, right, where it was. And then about, I don't know, it was like 10, 15 years ago, they totally rebuilt it. Today you go to the central square in the old city, you see the beautiful building, it's all rebuilt now. The shul, it's beautiful inside and outside. So we just like we call it the Ramban synagogue. I don't know if we know exactly that's where the Ramban daven, but like, you know, we associate that with the Ramban. So like, so the Ramban's life reflects what he's saying right now. Right, what he's saying is that if don't think that we're totally lost. Don't think that God will ever reject us. Of course, that was the Christian claim. The Christian claim was that God has rejected the Jews. Now there's the new Jew, right? That's the right. That's the that's the Christian claim about the pasuk and where in Sefer Toldos, when Rivka, right, she's pregnant and she doesn't know what's going on. So she, you know, she goes to inquire the Joseph Shalakim to inquire from God, and she's told Virav Yavod Zair, right, that the older one will serve the younger one. So, you know, the Esav will serve, Esav, the older one will serve Yaakov, the younger one. The Christians, right, they twisted that pasuk, and they said the older ones, meaning the Jews, or the older ones, will serve the younger ones, the Christians. The older ones have been rejected. So Ramban says that's utterly false. That is not at all what we believe. And again, later on in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu says this explicitly, that Hashem will never be completely disgusted with us. And so he's doing two things. One is he's rebuking us, and he's telling us that there's consequences, if we don't keep the Torah and observe the mitzvot as we're supposed to, right, we're gonna see in Sefer Devarim, we're gonna be told the first and second chapters of paragraphs of the Kriya Shema, and the second paragraph in Parshas Ekev says we're gonna be banished, exiled from the land if we don't keep the Torah and mitzvot. So that's a part of it. That certainly is true. But at the same time, again, I'll repeat what I just said, l'chazek libam, to encourage us, bodiosom kibim midas rachman misnagim amlof. The midas rachman, the attribute of mercy, will always be with us. Shlo yomar adam, a person should never say, l'nuchel esaras, a person never say that it's all over. We're finished. We're not going to be able to go back and inherit the land. We're not going to be able to take possession of the land. Because the truth is, everyone sins. Everyone makes mistakes, and Hashem recognizes that. And after we commit a sin, so again, in theory, the midas adin, the attribute of justice, so we should be destroyed right away. So you think that we're finished. But however, but you should know that God's attribute of kindness is stronger than the attribute of justice. That the attribute of kindness will overtake and overwhelm the attribute of justice. For forgiveness and pardon are bestowed by Hashem as an assistance to us, as a helper for us. As it says in Tehillim, for with you is forgiveness, you Hashem is forgiveness, that you Hashem may be feared. So that's the end of his introduction. So what he's saying is that when Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to tell the Jewish people, was on the one hand, you better keep the Torah, you better uphold, you know, your end of the bargain. He's going to make this one final bris, this one final covenant in the 40th year. And he's going to say, don't forget all the mitzvahs that you've learned until now, that you learned at Har Sinai. I'm going to review everything with you to make sure you don't forget them. And if you do, there's going to be consequences. But at the same time, Hashem is always going to be with us. Hashem will never totally destroy us. And the proof is this Parshas Devarim, right? Because then this opening Parsha, again, he reviews Chet HaMeraglim, right? The sin of the spies. And that should have been it, right? It should have been all over with the sin of the spies. We should have been destroyed. But what happened, right? Moshe invokes the Yigal Milas HaRachman, the 13 attributes of mercy. And Hashem ultimately, again, although there's major consequences, but the Jewish people, guess what? They're about to enter the land of Israel. Right, after all that's been said and done, after all that has happened, the Jews are on the bank of the Jordan, and they're about to cross over. They're wounded, they're bloodied, they're diminished in many ways, but they're still standing, and there's still great hope and potential moving forward. So that's how the Jews found themselves at this moment, and that's how the Jews will always find ourselves. Right, there always will be a potential, the possibility for things to be as they once were. And Hashem will never reject us. And so this is the case. So this is a beautiful and powerful message for Tisha B'Av. As you go into Tisha B'Av, and we bemoan and bewail our history, and all that has befallen us. And it's depressing, it's sad, it's painful, it's horrific, it's eicha, how could it be? Right? How could have all this have occurred? Of course, as you go through the book of eicha, you know, after all the eicha questions are asked, then all of a sudden Yirmiyahu says, oh yeah, but we sinned, right? That we turned away from Hashem, but we conclude eicha with Hashibeinu Hashem Eilachav Nashuva Chaleshimino Kikadam. Right, we ask Hashem to return us, renew our days of old. And how can we have the audacity to ask that question or to make that request? Because the Midas HaRachman, because Hashem cares about us, Hashem loves us. He made this covenant with us, with our ancestors, with the Avos, And as we see in Parshas Devarim, and we see as Moshe is going to emphasize over and over again, in Sefer Devarim, Hashem is never going to totally reject us. And therefore we enter Tisha B'Av with much pain and sadness, but at the same time we're able to leave Tisha B'Av with hope for the future. We're able to say Nachem and Mincha. We're able to say Hashem will comfort his people and comfort Yerushalayim. We're able to stand up when we say Elit Zion and recognize that we can get back up, that we can move forward. Right? We can. We don't have to be sitting low on the ground anymore. We can reemerge and we can look forward to a better and a future, and a promising future. Again, most of it's dependent upon us, and that's the challenge of Tisha B'Av. Right, the whole point of the fast day, as the Ramban tells us, beginning Hilchos Tainis, you know, people always say have an easy fast. So I always say they're missing the boat. Like, okay, of course you have an easy fast, but the most important thing is to have a meaningful fast. The most important part is, as Rambam says, is to do teshuva on a fast day. Right, is to think about what we can do better, what can we improve, what do we need to change, what can we do to be deserving of God's kindness and God's compassion. Right, the point of not eating is the goal is not to refrain from eating. The goal is that I'm not eating because there's more important things for me to do on the fast day. Right? I need to look within and I need to make those necessary corrections, adjustments, and changes. But if I do those things, so then, you know, I don't have to feel that it's all lost. I don't think it's for naught. I don't think it's fruitless. Nothing's going to come of it. Just the opposite. Hashem is waiting for us. Hashem wants to bring us back. Hashem wants to ultimately bring about the ultimate redemption. The Midas HaRachamim is stronger than the Midas Hadin. Hashem allows that, and just like Hashem did that for the Jewish people during their 40-year sojourn in the desert, even with all the mistakes, still enabled them, allowed them to enter the land. So too in our days, the possibility is there. That can happen, God willing, as well. And who knows? We got a little more than 24 hours until 40 hours till Tisha B'Av. We can avoid Tisha B'Av altogether this year. Right? It's called a moed. We don't say tachnun because we think ultimately it'll be a day of joy and of simcha. So hopefully we'll get there. And if God forbid we don't, so maybe we'll use Tisha B'Av in the best way possible, and there won't be any more Tisha B'Avs moving forward. Okay, wishing everyone a good Shabbos and a very meaningful fast on Sunday.